Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, recording at somewhat later. It's 11:20 p.m. and that's at Greenwich Mean Time here in London on Wednesday, the 11th of February. Okay, so what's going on here today? I was out and I wanted to get back and see what had happened near the close and be able to report on that. So here goes. But starting first with the Asia Pacific markets, they were mostly steady in here today, and the Hang Seng index went against that trend in China, down a little bit. Japan was mixed, but the back to China, the Shanghai Composite and Shenzhen Composite were both higher. Other indices, again, gains, moderate gains across the boards. One exception, Malaysia was down 0.2 percentage point. Now, Europe was still uncertain and mostly a little bit lower in here today. The one exception was a good gain by Holland. I see that's up nearly 1%. But the problem is that there has not been an agreement reached yet between Greece and the other negotiating parties over what actually happens with Greece's debt. So that's currently weighing on Europe a little bit. And looking at the Americas, well, Wall Street had been down across the boards earlier in the day, moderately, but it regained virtually all of that, with the S&P and the Dow almost closing unchanged, and a gain of over a quarter of a point in the NASDAQ to show in here today. Canada was also a little bit higher. Mexico and Brazil lower. Now, what do we make of it all? Well, first you've got those big trading ranges on Wall Street, and those are above those long gains that we saw during many months last year. So it's a nervous environment here. When you see those big broadening patterns, that indicates that supply and demand is back in balance. It indicates also disagreement, and you will have certainly seen plenty of disagreement. But weigh it all up, and we still have the buyers are still holding this market up because it is to the left of the rising 200-day moving average, and the indices, all the major indices, are just a little below their all-time highs. Now, what are some of the individual concerns? Well, we know that the dollar strength is certainly a headwind, and that's carried on in here today. And that's a concern. Then we know that there's the more dramatic story of the losses that we're now seeing, or that we will be seeing, that people are beginning to anticipate in the oil-producing sectors, particularly in the fracking activity. And there's unlikely to be any respite there for quite some time. And indeed, oil prices are a little lower in here today as well. So we have that uncertain environment for sure. On the other side of the coin, clearly the U.S. economy is, oil sector aside, is gradually improving. Corporate profits are quite good, for the most part, outpacing estimates in terms of their gains. A lot of major companies, not least the autonomies, have been also nudging those dividends up a bit higher. Interest rates, this is the most important factor of all, remain rock bottom low. And while there's talk, a lot of talk of the Fed moving rates higher, with estimates now ranging from mid-year to, well, not at all in 2015. The Fed's in a little bit of a dilemma because it will want to get off the mark with raising interest rates somewhat. Obviously, it doesn't want to do it prematurely, but also we know that there will be a presidential election in the autumn of 2016. Now, the Fed would probably like to get, in an ideal world, would probably like to get an interest rate hike or two out of the way before that, well before that campaign is fully underway. You may think it's already fully underway, but it'll be a lot more active for sure a year from now. So those are some of the factors that have, well, that's a factor that has been making investors a little bit nervous overall. Also, somewhat higher valuations. But overall, I think the interest rate story is the biggest one. And I'm also impressed that some of the more iconic shares, none more so than Apple, again, that pushed through to another solid gain in here today of about $2.50. So it's up to 124 and change, maintaining that breakout so far. And psychologically, that's certainly good for the market. And there is QE going on elsewhere in the world. Now, all that said and done, I think the real bargains are in Europe. Particularly the autonomies, which are benefiting so much from the soft euro. I also think that Japan is gradually building up for another breakout to the upside, and where Japan is certainly benefiting from quantitative easing, as will the European Union, starting next month. That's when you, of course, investors have been anticipating this. They already know that there's going to be quite a bit of quantitative easing in the EU, and investors generally know that that's good for stock markets. You know, we can argue all day long about what the long-term effects will be, but there's no doubt that it's good for stock markets, and it's intended to be good for stock markets. So Japan and the European Union, those are the major beneficiaries of quantitative easing, and that's where I think many of the value plays lie and where some of the better performances will actually be seen. And the yen has weakened sufficiently, and I think the euro has weakened sufficiently so that one doesn't have to be overly worried about currency risk at this stage. Obviously, those are going to remain soft currencies, the yen and the euro, but are we going to see another big move to the downside? Probably not. In my opinion. Okay. What else to look at? These government bonds, US Treasuries. This is a little bit of an eyebrow raiser here because that yield has pushed up again. It's still very low historically, but it's moved up sharply, at least over the last 8 days. It's been up 7 out of the last 8 days. And it's currently at 2.0176. Now, certainly that's eroding profits among some of those bondholders. It's also the fact that it's a sustained move suggests that certainly there's some nervousness in there. And I think it's a very risky sector here overall. And I think that it's going to end badly. As you know, we're talking about a bull market of what, 32, 33 years here with yields down at record lows. It doesn't take too much imagination to appreciate that as economies recover, and I'm very much in the camp that they will slowly recover. That bondholders are going to take a beating. So I'd obviously much rather be in equities, but I'd be diversified with an international portfolio of mostly autonomy type companies or funds that deal in those same shares. Now, looking at the currencies, again, I mentioned a moment ago that the dollar is steady generally. The euro is a little lower. 1.1309. Sterling is probably a little lower. It is at 1.5238. The Australian dollar also a bit soft, 0.7715. And this is continuation of the trends that we've seen in play, but no big moves in here today on the currencies. And precious metals softer here. Palladium's a little bit firmer. One, beg your pardon, 766.5, and silver a little weaker at $16.78. Platinum weaker in here today, back under the $1,200 level. That's at 1196 and change, down over nearly $11. And gold bullion soft in here today, down $13.22, 1200 and 20. Commodities generally are softer. The Brent crude, sharp drop in here today, down $1.77. That leaves it at 54.66. So it's again, it's retracing more of that 20% plus, just over 20% bounce that we had seen in Brent. And industrial metals are also somewhat lower in here today. So general softness coming back into the commodity markets after a rally that we had seen mostly last week, and also on Monday. And I think that's another point. I noticed here looking at no, I was going to say that the S&P was higher after the close, but it's given up that gain. But it closed almost unchanged. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.